Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here, want to thank you guys for coming on out tonight for Friday Night Discipleship. We do apologize for the late start. We are having some technical, some minor technical issues here with our streaming service. I do apologize. Want to thank God for all of you that were able to make it on out here today. It sure is a blessing to see you guys, so bear with me for just a few more minutes as I get everything situated here for our Friday night discipleship class, and I sure appreciate your patience. And there we go. Got that. Okay. Everything seems to be working. Maybe if one of our members can do a quick sound check, if you guys can just log on to YouTube and just help me, let me know, confirm with a thumbs up that our sound is going through. We've been having some issues recently with our streaming, and just, you can just put it to your ear and just let me know if you see it, brother. I appreciate that. Awesome. All right, church. Well, we just want to welcome everybody on out here to our Friday night discipleship class. It sure is a blessing to see you here tonight. There we go. Okay, cool. And good to go? Is it sound? Okay. You can just let me know, okay? We want to thank God for those of you that are tuning in with us either on our Facebook church page or our YouTube or our Podbean. We have some folks that are listening to us on our podcast channel. It sure is a blessing. If you'd like to get a visual, you can check us out on our YouTube or Facebook page. Just type in Simple Faith Baptist Church, Oceanside, and then you can visually follow along with us. We're located here, 1836 Dixie Street in Oceanside, California. We are currently renting from the Friendly Church of God in Christ. You can find our church space by following those parking lot signs outside in the parking lot. Amen. All right. So a quick couple of announcements tonight before we continue here. Tomorrow, soul winning. If you can join us, that sure be a blessing. We're going to meet here our usual time, 11 o'clock to 12. We're going to go door knocking. We're almost done with the body tot area. We're just going to finish up tagging some doors. We only have a few door hangers left, and once those are gone, that's pretty much it. We have to order more door hangers this week. So that's a praise report that we got rid of almost all of our door hangers. Praise God for that. I think we ordered 2,000. So that means we've distributed 2,000 tracks within our local area. So praise the Lord for that. So next week, we're going to try to get a fresh order of those door hangers in. And then soul winning downtown, please, if you can, join us. That sure be a blessing. Right after we're done with our door knocking, we're going to go and keep on trying to win souls to the Lord downtown Oceanside from about, I think once we're done with that, 12:30, 1 to 2, 2:30 in that range. And then we'll call it a day. Amen. Get some sleep, get some rest. Sunday, we'll be back here at church, Lord willing, for our Sunday service. And praise report from our Wednesday night prayer requests. Little baby Jeremiah is being released from the hospital. Praise the Lord for that. So Brother Artie, I called him today, and he gave us the praise report that the doctor said that there was no more level of infection in the blood. So we're hoping for a miracle too for our dear sister. Amen. Come Monday, hopefully we can hear some good news as well as that. But he's being released back with his family, hopefully tomorrow. His name is Artie, and he wants to pass along through me a thank you to our church family that prayed for him, and it sure meant a lot to him. So remember, church, we're all a part of the body of Christ. We're, regardless of wherever we may physical assemble, the Lord cares about all his sheep, and it's a blessing to his heart when we're able to take time to pray for other sheep and their needs. Amen. So that's a praise report. Praise report number two. Many of you guys have been here when we have had special guest speakers. Some of them have been online, others have been in-house, but a lot of our friends from online have been an extension of my theological training and Bible school and friends and associates from that particular network of influence. So all my Bible school ministry is from Deland, Florida. Brother James Knox as the pastor, the assistant pastor there, David Brown, and then Brother Ed Worth, he taught for our church months ago from the Friday night Zoom, giving us some good doctrine. And I just got the praise report today, waking up, amen, on my day off, that Brother James and the church there, they take up a love offering. They're going to sponsor Brother Ed to come out here for 1 week. Woohoo! It's going to be his first time ever coming down here to Southern California. And he is being sent from his church to be a blessing to our church. He is going to come down here to be a blessing to me as your pastor, to just hang out, refresh my spirit. He's also going to be doing our Sunday service. He's going to be doing our Wednesday night, and then he's going to come from a Saturday through Friday. So we're going to have him here available to hang out with us from that Sunday through a Friday. We haven't yet selected the time yet, so I'm announcing it to you on Ancet Sunday. Then we'll pray together and kind of see what's a good week that we can dedicate our time to welcome a good brother who's coming from thousands of miles away to be a blessing to us. And so they're a great church family over there. Many years ago, Brother Kwame and I had the privilege to go out there. And of course, we had a brother assist on our behalf to help meet the needs at the time. And now they're being a blessing by sending one of their brothers out here to be a blessing to us. So I'm very excited. That's our very first, if you will, Christian who wants to help our ministry for the first time in our church history. That's the first time another church is sending a brother to our church to hang out, to fellowship, to serve. So I'm looking forward to that, guys. And so Sunday, he'll do the message. Monday, Tuesday, we're thinking about perhaps using some time to go door knock just to fellowship with him to see how he does it. Again, he can teach us. We can hang out. And then a Tuesday or Monday, one of those days, we'll take him out to go fellowship somewhere around San Diego. You know, hang out. Bless him. Wednesday, he'll do the midweek. Thursday, we'll do the Sunset Soul Market because they soul win all the time over there in Florida. All the brothers, they've been doing it for 30 years. Amen. Down there. And it's kind of like our Oceanside, but over there in DeLand, Florida. So they have kind of their downtown. They have their spots where they post up and love, and they've been faithful. So it'll be a blessing for us to kind of see how he does it, you know, teaching us the ropes of how they do it out there. So we want to get some soul winning from this brother. And then Friday, we're going to take him back to the airport as he departs. So let's keep Brother Ed Worth in your prayer. You can look up his YouTube channel, KJV Bible Scope. He has an online ministry as well where he answers questions and answers. You can always email him anytime. His information's there. He'll have a Bible Q&A as well on Facebook Live. So that made my day. That was just the coolest thing I've ever heard. And I'm just so joyful because, again, that's where me as your pastor, that's where my theological training, if you will, is continuing to be taught from that ministry you guys can see online. And now one of those brothers are going to come down here to be a blessing. So I'm looking forward to it. So keep that in prayer. We're not sure when, but like I said, we'll kind of talk about it come Sunday to see like when's a good week that all of us can kind of dedicate our time to be available to just hang out with this brother since he's going to come from a long distance, as well as recommendations where we can study out what's a good place for him to stay. And there'll be a blessing. So for 1 week, Saturday to Friday, and then we'll begin to prepare for that. Amen. And then, I'm excited for this next week. We're almost there. As you guys know, we got some going on, and that's a blessing, putting in some work today. I was sharing with some of the brothers. So God is good. Amen. He's always good. Let's continue to keep Brother Kwame in prayer. Amen. Our family out there and others as well. As you guys know, those that are dear to our heart, we want to continue to intercede on their behalf for the things that are going on. Amen. And their life as well. So with that said, everybody week, how's it going at the end? Some of you guys are tired. Some of you guys are doing okay. Doing okay? Doing okay? Tired? Amen. Okay. Well, we love y'all. It's always good to see you guys. My wife and I have been on the move today. I'm trying to cut some wood. Amen. It's been exciting. Woo! And I'm excited for that. So we learned some valuable lessons doing that, brother. So we still got a lot of fingers. That's the best part about that. Amen. All right. But I did get an elbow from my wife. So that's another thing. But anyways. All right. Page 536, 537 in our study book, One Book Rightly Divided. If you're tuning in, you can see the description of where we are obtaining our materials from. For those of you who are following along with us on our Podbean app, you can tune in on our Facebook or YouTube. You'll see the link there. But we have here One Book Rightly Divided. It is written by Brother Andrew Ray, pastor, Antioch Baptist Church, Brother Doug Stopper, pastor of Faith Baptist Church down there in Florida somewhere. And this is a phenomenal material to kind of help guide, if you will, our understanding of how to rightly divide the book. And it goes hand in hand with other materials that we've started. Again, it's all about education. Amen. 536, 537 in the One Book Rightly Divided. If you don't have the study book, that's fine. You got the most important book. That's the Bible. Amen. That's the Word of God. So we've been talking about here the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of heaven and all the distinctions between the two, the similarities between the two. But one thing that I've been studying thus far is that they are of the same source. And what does that mean? They're both going to be established by God, for God, and all for His glory. One, a physical on the earth, where there will be a structure physically governing the entire planet. The other, spiritual, where He would be governing where? Anybody? Within where? Our hearts. What are the three things that the kingdom of God consists of spiritually right now? Anybody remember from Bible trivia? The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see there? That's good. That's good. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for allowing us to gather once again. Some of the saints are tired today. I'm tired today, Lord, but I'm motivated by love. I'm motivated by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm motivated to know that there are still people on this earth that care enough about the Bible to take time out of their Friday night to just hang out with Christians, God, for an hour of fellowship, to learn more about the book, so that, God, the knowledge they gain from your book can change their lives. Tonight, God, whatever knowledge we gain, as my heart and philosophy has always been, Lord, that we would use it with a spirit of charity to help others, not to destroy, but to build up, so we can help each other to be more like your son, Jesus, Father. And we thank you for the knowledge we gain so we can remain faithful, we can remain sound, we can remain united, and also we can remain strong when any type of silly doctrine ever attempts to make its way in here, or when we go soul winning and a brother or sister is confronted, they'll have the ability to pull these tools out of their tool shed in their intellect to be able to defend the faith, give an answer for what they believe about the book. So we thank you now for this time, and we commit into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Let's go now here. Page number 536, the bottom paragraph we'll pick up. In these few verses, settled the matter concerning the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Then the doctrine would fit nicely into our preconceived boxes. Yet there is much more when we consider the entirety of Scripture. What the authors are telling us here, friend, is that man wants all the answers and grows ever impatient when God delays the explanation and understanding. It is important to note that man trying to understand God is always going to be a challenge. Amen. The more we learn concerning the truths of Scripture, the more we realize that there is so much more to learn. Bible study is a never-ending journey that far too many find cumbersome. People who study their Bible should be delighted when God answers questions, but never grow weary when the answers are not immediately forthcoming. So what do we do, brother or sister? Keep on reading. Keep on reading. God has dealt with his creation with infinite mercy in fascinating ways. He always seems to be giving man one more chance. Properly understanding these two phrases, that is, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, when considering what the Scripture says of each of these designations, is obviously important. This chart may seem overwhelming, but simply consider the description and whether the Bible points to one or both designations. So here we have it. Let's go through these. We don't have the ability to display this chart online, so just bear with us. But for those of you in-house, you have the chart there, and we have the Bible. So the first description that is similar, and then again, for us, the reader or the audience, what we're going to ask ourselves is, do we see this describing one of the kingdoms, or could it be applicable to both? All right. So here we have it, Matthew 3:2. If you have your Bible, let's go ahead and turn together there. And we're going to go through these, and if you don't, that's all right. But here we have the general description of this first example, that both are said to be at hand during Christ's earthly ministry. Matthew 3:2, the Bible says, "Repent ye, for the what church? Kingdom of heaven is at hand." Okay? Next, Matthew 4:17. Again, we're just going to go through these quickly if you have your study book there. But if not, you can look them to the screen. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Do you see that? And then last one, Matthew 10:17. "Kingdom of heaven Oh, I apologize. I don't know where this verse here, Matthew 10:17. Yeah, most likely is 7. It's a typo, and there's "the kingdom of heaven is at hand." How about that? Let me scratch the number 1 out of their chart. I'm going to call Brother Andrew Ray, guys. I'm going to tell him to release a new edition of this. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, now we have three mentions of what church? Kingdom of heaven, and it is said to be what? At hand, okay? Let's look at that in Mark now, and under the designation kingdom of God. The Bible says in Mark 1:15, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is what church? At hand." So what are we trying to understand from this chart? Properly understanding these two phrases and grasping their biblical meanings only takes place when considering what the scripture says concerning each of these designations. We are understanding how the Bible describes the designation of both kingdoms. So both of them, during the first coming of Christ, what we call the first advent, both of these kingdoms were what? At hand, okay? So now you know those are similarities between the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. The next, preached by Jesus when John was in prison. We have a ton of these. We won't go through every single one, but suffice it, we'll just cover a few. The first example is Matthew 4. And what is this description? That the kingdom of heaven was preached by Jesus when John the Baptist was in prison. Matthew 4, verse number 12. When Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and he began to continue his ministry. Go down here to verse number 17. And from that time began to preach. Okay? So we have the kingdom of God while John the Baptist is in prison preaching. Here we have Jesus preaching the kingdom of heaven. Okay, and then the kingdom of God in Mark chapter 1, 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Okay? So if you don't have this book, I'll just go ahead and read it out. We won't go through every single one of these. It'll take us a while. But just know we have a description given to the poor in spirit and to those persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's described, connected with the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 5, 3, Matthew 5, 10, and then the kingdom of God in Luke 6, 20 and 22. Concerning what contains some who are least, those who break commandments and teach others to do so, and some who are great, those who do and teach the commandments and requires righteousness beyond the scribes and Pharisees, that's solely identified with the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 5, 19 through 20. For the kingdom of heaven, the description is not entered by a mere profession, Matthew 7, 21. For the description will be entered and inhabited by some descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, along with others from outside of that lineage, while some of the physical descendants of Abraham will be cast out into outer darkness. That is connected with the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 8, 11 through 12, and the kingdom of God, Matthew 21, 43, and Luke 13, 28 through 29. Now that's interesting, because when he does return, remember that the remnant of the Hebrews that are going to make it through the tribulation, Israel is going to be preserved through them. And then all the saints of old, of Israel's descendants, their bodies are going to be resurrected. Remember that in Ezekiel's vision? And then we're going to have King David that is going to be the ruling, if you will, king, prince underneath King Jesus there in Jerusalem. They're going to be sitting in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can read that in those verses. The next description concerning the kingdom of heaven, he that is least in it is greater than John the Baptist, Matthew 11, 11. That is also said about the kingdom of God in Luke 7, 28. Concerning the kingdom of heaven, the description that it suffers violence and could be taken by force, that's solely applicable to the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 11, 12. We're on page 538. Again, church, there's so many of these descriptions. The description that the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are given to the disciples to know its mysteries. You can read that in Matthew 13, 11, Mark 4, 11, Luke 8, 10. The description that it's likened unto a man which sowed seed. You can read that in Matthew 13, 24, Mark 4, 26. The description that it's likened unto a grain of mustard seed. You can read that in Matthew 13, 31. Mark 4:30, Luke 13:18 through 19. The description that it's like unto hid leaven, hid treasure, a man seeking goodly pearls, a net cast in the sea, and a householder bringing things from his treasure. You can read that in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 13. Concerning keys. Now, this one's going to be interesting, church. Let's go to Matthew 16. Because what's going to happen, church, is Roman Catholic is going to do their best to convince you that Peter was the first pope And that's why the Roman Catholic Church has the sole authority, scripturally speaking, of what they call apostolic succession for the authority of the church because of this statement that Christ gives Peter here. And let's read that together, Matthew 16. I'm just going to pull it up here on the screen. Here's what the Lord says to him, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I don't know how the Roman Catholics, who are Orthodox, to associate that with every pope given a successive, what we call, spiritual authority of apostolic, disposition, where they are allowed power to bind things on the earth concerning sins. Remember that? That's what they did throughout history. I don't know how they read that from this text. I don't think any one of us can obviously identify that this is going to be a continual succession. Let's reread that again. He says, I will give unto thee. Thee is singular. Remember, in our King James Bible, ye, you, and yours is always the plural form. That is, it's an identifying whoever is in the text. It's a reference to more than one person. Thee, thou, and thine is an individual. So did Jesus give these keys to every apostle according to this verse? Who did he give it to? There you go. Real simple. You just learned something simple that you can't learn over there in those Bible colleges, I'm telling you. So according to the Lord, he gave the apostle Peter these keys as it pertains to some type of spiritual authority that was designated him, associated with the kingdom of heaven. And this has some kind of parallel connection with the preaching of the gospel to the Hebrews and the institution of the church reaching out to them. We'll get into all those notes later on, but it has a strong Jewish connection for his ministry given unto them. And so we'll talk about that another day. But that's not likened to the kingdom of God. It's just to the kingdom of heaven. Next description, one had to become like a child to enter into it. You can read that in Matthew 18, Matthew 19. You can read that also about the kingdom of God in Mark 10 and Luke 18. So you see, church, there are similarities of both of these designations of the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, however, is described like unto a king which forgave a servant. That's not said of the kingdom of God. You can read that in Matthew 18, 23. Description for the kingdom of heaven. It is hard for a rich man to enter into it. You can find that Matthew 19, 23. And also connected to the kingdom of God, Matthew 19, 24, Mark 10, 23 through 25, and then Luke 18, 24 through 25. Solely applicable to the kingdom of heaven, it's like a king making a marriage for his son, Matthew 22, 2. That's not likened to the kingdom of God. The next of these references are solely of the kingdom of heaven. The next, the scribes and Pharisees shut it up against men, Matthew 23, 13. Like virgins meeting a bridegroom, Matthew 25, 1. And then like unto a man traveling into a far country, delivering his goods unto his servants, Matthew 25, 14. Those descriptions are solely identifying and describing the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of God. Next, its coming unto men was related to the casting out of devils by the Spirit of God is the kingdom of God. Matthew 12, 28, Luke 11, 20. Publicans and harlots enter it before some of the Jews. That's only related to the kingdom of God. Matthew 21, 31, not the kingdom of heaven. There were some that would not taste of death till they had seen it come with power. That's the kingdom of God, Mark 9:1, Luke 9:27. It would be better to enter it with one eye than to be cast into hell fire. That's Mark 9:47, concerning the kingdom of God. Bottom page 538, Jesus promised not to drink the fruit of the vine or eat the Passover until it was fulfilled in it. That's the kingdom of God. Mark 14, 25, Luke 22, 16, 18. And almost done. 539, men waited for it. That's the kingdom of God. Mark 15, 43, Luke 23:51. If a man looked back, he was not fit for it. Luke 9:62, concerning the kingdom of God. It was preached since John, kingdom of God, Luke 16:16. Some of the more understandable, because you've already heard it many times said from behind this pulpit, cometh not with observation, kingdom of God, Luke 17:20-21. Its nearness is indicated by signs, Luke 21:31, kingdom of God. Now, you guys should know this by now. Only be seen by those who are born again. Kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven? Anybody? Nope. Wrong. My wife. Anybody else? Nope. Wrong. Kingdom of God. You have to be born again to enter into the kingdom of God spiritually. There you go. It's all right, ladies. It's all right. We're learning together. Preached by Christ following his passion, Acts 1:3, kingdom of God. Preached by Philip and by Paul, kingdom of God, Acts 8:12, Acts 14:22, Acts 19:8, and Acts 20:25. Preached using the law and the prophets, Acts 28:23. Now let's go there quickly. This is a very interesting point here that we need to touch on. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts 28. If you have a study book, we're on 5:39, just looking at the chart. And if you're just tuning in with us, we're just continuing our study of understanding the Bible differences and distinctions and similarities between the two phrases, kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. They're very similar. They're both going to be established by the same God. One is going to be more of a physical establishment that's related to governing the earth. One is going to be established spiritually that governs the hearts of men who are born again. That is, those who become born again Christians. So we're just kind of studying that right now. But look at here in Acts 28. Remember here, and we'll get here, we're almost done with the book of Acts as a church, studying it together verse by verse. But when Paul, that's the last chapter, by the way, when Paul gets all the way to Rome, before he, you know, goes to glory, gets his head chopped up, he calls the Jews, his kinsmen, some from a local Hebrew synagogue, to ask if they've heard about what the Christians were being accused of and what they believed in. So when some of those Jews who were apparently, leaders, if you will, of the local area, they came to his lodging, and they said in verse 21, "We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee." So all the Hebrews that had been living in Rome up until that time, they never heard one rapport of everything that the apostles were doing for the name of Christ. They never heard anything negative concerning the Christian movement, if you will. But he said, but they asked him, "But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning the sect," because that's what it was identified, remember, early Christians, the way, "we know that everywhere it is spoken against." So kind of cool. These Jews in Rome, faithful Jews, they heard about the accusations against early Christianity. But notice, but we want to know what you think about this. They didn't really have a prejudice. So far, it looks like Paul has an open ear, right? Verse 23. "When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified," say with me, church, "the kingdom of God." Now watch this. Before we let all of our commentaries begin to, you know, start going off, woo-hoo, you know, like, oh, according to such and such, look at the Bible. "Persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of" what? "The law of Moses, and out of the prophets, from morning till evening." So what are you trying to tell me, Pastor? The kingdom of God has its origin, has its revelation, has its authority from the Old Testament. So it's not just a New Testament only thing. It's not just Paul got this only. No. The Word of God back here talked about it. But you see, what happens is when we keep listening to commentaries, they're going to keep telling us this is a Paul-only thing or Paul. No. You know what Paul said? "Hey, Hebrew friends, Moses talked about this. Hey, Hebrew friends, Isaiah talked about this. Hey, Hebrew friends, Daniel." And so he took them all through that Old Testament about who? Jesus. Because who is the kingdom of God about? It's about Jesus. Who is the kingdom of heaven about? It's about Jesus. So the aspects of both kingdoms concerning one man. And who is he? Jesus, say, can you give me one more verse about that, brother, please? Yes, I may. I'm going to answer your question. Revelation, go there real quick. Revelation, please. And let's go here to chapter 14. And let's come here to, oh no, here, Revelation, you guys know me, I like to challenge my Bible memory, 16. Okay, nope, let me study it out, let me look it up here. It's in Revelation somewhere, church, give me a second here. And what we're looking for, spirit of, and then let me go ahead and, there we go, it's in Revelation 19, it was a neen, that's what I remember, it was a teen. And a verse 10, okay? All right. Can I get a volunteer to read Revelation 19:10, please? Fellow servant. Brethren. So quick question. The angel just told John way out there in the future, don't worship me. I'm just an angel. There you go. I am also a fellow servant to what? The testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean, brother? It is the inspiration to the word of God. All of the culmination of everything from the Old Testament to the New is about one man. Who is he? Jesus Christ. Kingdom of heaven, physical, King Jesus will reign. Kingdom of God, spiritual, King Jesus, he reigns over my heart. It all has to culminate about him. It all has to do with him. It all has to spring forth from him. He's eternal. He is the eternal word of God. So again, that's good. That's good. Remember that. Don't forget that, church. Let that sink deep down in your ears. Go back to Acts 28 and just mark that in the back of your mind. Kingdom of God, the Apostle Paul was teaching Jews out of the law of Moses. He wasn't quoting Romans, church. He wasn't quoting Galatians because there was no New Testament as we have it, you know, collated now. Remember, they were over time writing those letters as the Spirit bade them and moved them. But they had the law. They had the Word of God. They had the Old Testament. And out of the prophets from morning till evening. So all that truth was already there. It was just what we call in mystery form. All that Jesus gave unto the Apostle Paul was the understanding of the mystery, how the Gentile would have a participation with the Jew because unto them were given these promises. That's the only distinction that the Apostle Paul was given. A couple of other things as it pertains to the church order and structure. But church, everything else, God already put it right there in writing, and he gave it all the way back there, Old Testament times. And let's go to one more on this topic, and then we'll continue our notes. Turn your Bible with me now to Luke 24. This is one of my favorites. And again, church, you already know, we don't really obviously debate anybody out there in the streets concerning this. I think one time in our soul winning, there was literally one guy who wanted to debate with me about these aspects, and I'm never going to forget that because, you know, back in those days, I was discipling our brother Manny here, and just kind of we were going over some studies of some words, and I said, this is why this thing is important because of this. And then the following time, he had a debate with a Jehovah's Witness that debated with him about a word. And I'm like, brother, amen, do you remember that? And I just showed him. I said, that's why that's important. It was talking about God or some term, you know, from the Greek and all that stuff. Doesn't matter. Okay, back here, Luke 24, what's the point? Watch this, okay? It's all about the word of God. Don't forget that, church. If you're too tired to remember anything about tonight, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, just know the inspiration was all about Jesus. The revelation was already revealed in the word of God. The mysteries of that particulars was revealed unto our New Testament apostles concerning the Gentile inclusion into those kingdoms, okay? Now, Luke 24, this is Jesus. He rose from the dead, okay? He is appearing to the disciples, and he says in 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the what? Psalms concerning me. Spirit of prophecy, Jesus. Jesus, resurrection, disciples, no New Testament, no Paul, no none of that. The word of God, this is his word. Hey guys, all this was fulfilled, and let me show you where. This is where God said I would die for the sins of the world. This is where God said that I would rise from the dead the third day. This is where God said that people will be saved by faith alone in me. Old Testament. So then he opened up their understanding that they might understand the what? Scriptures. And he said in verse 46, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. So there you go. That's the Gentiles, beginning at Jerusalem. That's what they did in Acts 2, right? Acts 1. You're witnesses of these things. But where did he get that from? He didn't got no Paul up in here. He got it from where? Anybody? The Old Testament, the Word of God. Thus it is written. So that's why, church, always be careful when you watch those guys online who want to say these things were mysterious. No, they weren't. Now, the only mystery there is their Bible school teacher, but other than that, that's pretty much it. It's all been here. It always was there. They just needed to recognize that. Now, this is not in your notes. Turn with me in your Bible to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm 16. Let's just go there real quick. My wife, Brother Giovanni, and we had a great time reading our Bible together. It's always important. And today, as I was reading her devotional for her, I didn't see this until today. I think I may have answered my question, church. Remember what I said, that I'd buy a burrito for anybody who can go back there in the Bible and see where the Bible says the third day? Isn't that what Jesus said? The third day, it is written. Where does it say the third day that he would rise from the dead? We know where it talks about him being crucified, Isaiah. We know where it talks about him being buried, Isaiah and Psalms. But where does it say the third day? I think I may have a very, very closer step to that, brother. So I guess I'm just going to buy myself a burrito. Anyways, here we go. Maybe my wife. Okay. Same bank account. Never mind. It's all coming from that. Okay. Look at this here. Psalm 16. Watch this, church. This is what we call, church, a messianic prophecy. What does that mean? That means that these Old Testament verses literally are foreshadowing a fulfillment of prophecy in the person of Christ. So just like Jesus just said in Luke 24, thus it is written concerning me, right there, my crucifixion, right there, my burial. That's what we call messianic prophecies, because here we have a prophet inspired that is going to foretell an act that Jesus would perform. And watch this, Psalm 16:1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. That's a good application verse. Amen, church. Don't be getting too caught up with the sci-fi gods, the comic book gods, the Thor, Spider-Man, Batman, drunk man, transgender man, and all those pedophilia mans and pervert mans. Stick to the man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just let his name come out of your lips. Y'all don't need to be watching all those gods out there and all that stuff. Amen. All right, that was free. Okay, verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in my pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. You know what that is? That's your innermost parts, your spirit, your conscience, your heart. You know what can help you is letting God instruct you. And then when you meditate upon the Word of God later on while you're thinking about a thing, you know what this psalmist is saying? It's going to remind me. You want a free verse real quick, free nugget? Listen up real quick. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will take of mine and he'll give it to you. He'll bring back to you in remembrance of what I said. How is he going to remind you if you ain't reading what he said? That's free. That's free. Anybody? Okay, my wife's looking. Whoa. Verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Now, okay. Focus now. Verse 8. Here's what the psalmist is saying. But this is a foreshadowing of Christ's ministry. I'll show you. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. That's unique, brother. That's unique. We'll talk about that. My flesh also shall rest in hope. What? I don't know about you, friend, but this body, It doesn't die in hope, amen. I don't know how my flesh is going to rest in hope. This thing is going to die, decay, and rot, amen, in that grave once they put it in there. But this man's flesh is going to rest in hope. Who is the man, brother? Let's keep reading. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Where do I think the third day is, brother? Right here. Where? In there somewhere. In there somewhere. So once again, watch this. He said, I've set the Lord always before me. I'm going to show you the New Testament. My heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. How is it going to rest in hope? Because it knows that it's going to come back from the dead. That's good. Man, that's good. Acts 2. Let's go there. Acts 2. Turn your Bible there quickly. This is just Bible, amen. I'm not going to go all crazy and telling you all the Lord showed me, because you already know every pastor under heaven is going to tell you that. So this is nothing supernatural that you can't figure out, amen. You already know that. At a Bible-believing church, you should know that there's nothing supernatural here in the sense of, oh, man, I'm getting a vision. I'm just reading the book. That's all. I'm just comparing verse with verse here now. Okay, Acts chapter 2. What did I say earlier? Messianic prophecy, foreshadowing. Here we have the Holy Spirit of God moving a prophet, in this case, David. And when he is writing that psalm, church, he may not know it at the time, but he is writing of a fulfillment in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Literally, sometimes it would be even his words that he would say. Some of you already know it. You may not know the verse, but you know what he said when he was on that cross. I'll start it and you finish it. My God, my God. Nobody. Why has... Yes, you know that. Jesus literally quoted a psalm, Psalm 22. So again, it's written concerning him. All the Old Testament, the spirit of it, the prophecy concerns Jesus. So here we have it now, Brother Giovanni. Here we have the Apostle Peter being inspired by the Spirit of God to talk to the Jews about the gospel he's going to present to them, right? Here's what the Bible said about Jesus. All right, now look at here, verse 23. Him, talking about Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So he's telling the Jews, you guys did this. Everybody knows, you guys are there. Y'all took this man of Nazareth. You took him up to Pontius Pilate. You blamed him. You accused him. You crucified him. You're the ones responsible. But God knew that. Oh, yeah, God knew ahead of time you do that. And as a matter of fact, here's what his word said. Look at verse 24. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David, okay, now watch this, church. David speaketh concerning him. What do we call that, brothers? Messianic prophecy. There we have a foreshadowing of what he is prophesying concerning who? Jesus Christ. So the psalm we just read, you can put that in your Bible note there. Psalm 16 is right here in Acts 2:25. He said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Is that not what you just read? Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, now watch this, church, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He seeing this, now watch this, this is crazy. Again, all of our commentators today, I don't know why they failed to recognize this, but watch this. He, talking about King David, seeing this before, spake of what? Anybody? But I thought only the New Testament apostles could see that in the Old Testament. The Apostle Peter just said King David saw that. Man, that's good. why don't we just leave the Bible alone and allow the Bible to determine the definitions for us? Peter just said by the Spirit of God, King David, seeing this, seeing what, church? The promise that God gave him that the Messiah would resurrect from what, church? Say with me now, the dead. And that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. What's the point? Go back there to Psalm 16. This all has to do with the kingdom of God, okay? Psalm 16. There's one thing, though, that wasn't there, church. There's one thing that the Holy Ghost didn't quote in Peter's preaching. I don't know if you saw there. Go back quickly to Psalm 16. Oh, I'm in Proverbs 16. Psalm 16. And watch this. Watch this parallel, brothers. This is really good. If you get a hold of this, everything else, your entire Bible methodology, as you're being taught here, you're gonna be in good hands. You're going to be all right. Why? Because we understand how God revealed his truth to the people of Israel. We understand how he showed the New Testament of disciples after the resurrection. He gave them the what? The understanding to the Old Testament scriptures. So everything that would come out from Peter or Paul or Jude, it's all because of the authority first given where? Right over here in the Old Testament scriptures. Look at it again real quick. Psalm 6, 9. Therefore, my heart was glad and my glory rejoiceth. Whose glory? Jesus' glory. Are you ready for this, brother? You know what he said there in the Lord's Prayer in John 17? He said, Father, he's about to fulfill, I'm just paraphrasing, and this is the Brother Carlos version, okay, just take it for a grain of salt. But he just said, Father, I want them to see my glory that I had with you before the world was. Here we have Jesus. He has a glory, and that glory has always existed, brothers and sisters. You know what also rejoiced in the resurrection? The Lord's glory. Not only did the Lord's glory rejoice, but watch this, my flesh also shall rest in hope. He's the only man whose body had hope going down to that grave. Man, that's another message right there, man. This is free. Okay, I'm excited. Jesus Christ is the only man who died whose body was going into that grave, knowing that when? 3 days later, he would come up out. That's the only place that I can find it so far. I'm just letting you know, this is your pastor giving you some of his knowledge nuggets. When it said 3 days, this is the only place where I can safely say in Psalm 16, when his flesh went down there, why did he die with hope? Why did the flesh die having hope? 3 days. He knew he was coming up out of that grave. That flesh, again, this is silly. You know, this is brother monologue now. So you guys know the pastors get all emotional with their imagery. Okay, so here's the body. What does it have on that? It has a smile. Why? It's coming. He's coming back. 3 days later, he's coming back. And then that soul, right, on the third day, what happens? He rises from the dead. That soul comes back into that body. Man, I knew you'd come back. Woo! His glory rejoiced. Why? Because the Father promised him, I am not going to leave you down there, son. I'm going to take you back out of that grave. It's impossible for you to be held in there. That's what it said, right, in Acts 2? Okay, all that for what, Brother Carlos? The kingdom of God. Let's go back there to Acts 28. Acts 28. You see, I get excited about the book, amen, and I get excited when the Bible defines itself. And if you can learn to do that, church, you'll know and you'll appreciate the brothers who have a little bit of knowledge, then they're going to put in their commentary, but where they're wrong or where they become faulty in a state, that's okay. We love them, but we say, brother, you have an error here. Everything else is solid, but according to the Bible, if I leave it alone, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19:10. King David prophesied of the death, burial, and resurrection. Isaiah, death, burial, and resurrection. Daniel, the resurrection and the death. 3 days, I think, Psalm 16, we can fit it in there. The kingdom of God and all the supernatural wisdom for the New Testament, if you will, ministration of the gospel. Paul talking to the Jews. Once again, he expounded and testified in verse 23 of Acts 28, the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. So what are you trying to say in the end of the day, Pastor? I'm telling you, the Bible had it all along. And I'm telling you that when your Christian authors today want to overdivide everything, take it with a grain of salt and just let the Bible do its job and you'll be okay. You'll be all right. The kingdom of God, Old Testament, it prophesied of it. Christ fulfilling it clearly at his first advent, he fulfilled it. He gave the disciples the understanding of what was already there. Was already there. Amen. Okay, we're going to finish this chart real quick, and then we'll come to a close. 539, bottom of page 539. The kingdom of God is not what? Meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14, 17. That's not said of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is not inherited by the wicked. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, and Galatians 5, 21. And then lastly, not inherited by flesh and blood. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. I don't have a lot about that, brother, so I'll just give you what I got right now, okay? I've already heard a lot of commentaries, trust me. All right, your pastor studies all these guys. Okay, I understand what they're saying. Resurrection. When the body resurrects or the rapture happens, what happens to our blood, you know? You're going to have the guys that go on this side of the spectrum and say, all of a sudden, your blood is going to, you know, pop out of nowhere. It's going to be bloody because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, reasonable. I'm not too convinced yet, but on that. Or the inheritance. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. As it pertains to the new birth, being born again. You go to John 1:12. The Bible says, but as many as believed him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, who are born not of what? Not of, okay, let me just read that. I just want to kind of give you my reasonings, amen. Again, I'm not dogmatic about it, but I'm just giving you where your pastor stands on this. Which were born not of blood, see? Nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So I can't inherit the kingdom of God just by me being born a Jew, or just me being born a Gentile into this. I must be born again. That's why the kingdom of God, you can't inherit it by flesh and blood. It's a supernatural birth. But obviously, church, at the rapture, our body will be supernaturally changed. This thing right here will go from corruptible to incorruptible in an instantaneous. The only type that I have for that so far in my studies is the water being turned into wine. It was instantaneous. So what is the picture? I don't have a, you know, the brothers with their whiteboards. I don't have it now, but when the Lord supernaturally takes us home to glory, he is going to translate this flesh. And somehow, some way, church, your blood, it's no longer going to have the natural properties that it functions to support your organs as it does now. Like Leviticus says, the life is in the blood. It's going to be transformed like that. In other words, there will be no more blood physically pumping through the glorified body, because it's no longer going to be needed to sustain you in heaven. You're not going to need that. You're going to be up there with a supernatural body. So there you go, church. So let me end with this page, 539. The chart does not incorporate every instance of the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God found within Scripture. So if you want to further do some more study on that, brother, you're just going to have to do it. Just type it in your Bible study software, and I will give it to you for free. Again, you already know, church, I will do my best to give you all the tools you need to study the Bible. You already know that. Yet it does provide some tremendous insights. So far, that was good. Some good insights, amen. Additionally, before formulating any conclusions based upon this chart, it should be noted that there are many instances where the descriptions apply to both kingdoms, but since the scripture does not define either designation, the chart does not include that particular verse. Likewise, one should consider the very real probability that some of the descriptions are indeed true of both phrases, yet the scripture only referred to one of them. You know what they're saying? We're just doing our best to help you. You're going to have to keep digging. Isn't that good? That's why I like these authors, church, because they're not telling you we have the all in all. If you don't view it our way, you're going to have contradictions. No. This is what we got, but you got to keep studying. That's why I like these kind of guys here. Okay. Unfortunately, Bible teachers have somehow chosen to overemphasize the differences between the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God by allowing a couple of verses to be the driving force behind the definitions. But when considering the magnitude of the evidence, just like we've done, the sameness, if you will, of the two designations far outweighs the statements unique to one another. That's why we're at a discipleship class, because what am I doing? We are discipling you to show you all of it. So yes, even though we've been used to hearing so many similar teachings from other brethren, we're going to put it to the test right here up to this screen where the Bible is. Wow, that's what it says there about that. That's what it says there about this. So what do? I take my biases. I take my preconceived ideas and all I do is alter it. I change it. I tweak it because that verse just showed me something differently than what I had thought initially. Does that make sense? In other words, here we go. How many of you guys have ever had a carne asada burrito before? Anybody out there? Okay. How many of you guys have ever had carne asada chips before? Anybody out there? Okay. What is a food that somebody told you was really good, but you had a bias concerning it, but until you tasted it, you yourself discovered, wow, it actually does taste good, even though I had a prejudice. What is something like that? Go ahead. Tofu? Okay. Anybody else? For me, it was Dr. Pepper. Anybody else? Nobody? Okay, I still don't like olives. I'm just going to be real with you. Brother, I'm sorry. I don't like mushrooms. You know what I'm saying, bro? I'll try. Go ahead. Ranch with pizza. Okay, my friends do that. I still don't really do that. You know, everyone's not. A little dip. Go ahead, sister. Okay, very unique. Never heard of that, but right now that seems kind of unique. Go ahead, sister. Spaghetti with what? With sour cream. Now I've had rice with sour cream, but that sounds unique. What's my point? You have a bias. It's natural because of your influences, and then just your conscience kind of says, oh, I don't know if that'll taste good, but it's not until you actually consume it, you build experience with it, oh, now it actually tastes good, and then you're willing to tell others, hey, this is actually pretty good. I tried it. Analogy for what? Bible study. Bible study. You're going to hear a lot of things from this. You're going to hear a lot of things from the YouTube. You're going to hear a lot of things from that pastor down there, brother over here. Sounds good. There's a bias now, but when we actually go to the book now to say, wait a second, look at what it says here. Look at what it says in context. Oh, okay, it actually tastes good now. I understand. Or, you know, I'm just going to be able to have a different view. That's all. Okay, 540. In the end of the day, perhaps the better practice would be first to identify the common thread and then to seek to understand the perceived differences, the timing of the differences, and the timing of the similarities. There we go. So we'll go ahead and stop there, church. I apologize. I know we started late, but that's a good way to end the note here tonight, study. You always want to do your best to, okay, let me find some common ground. So you get your notepad, right, brother? You start taking notes in that verse when you're doing your study. This is what I heard about it. This is what I think about it. You know, start filling it in, and then now you start going through it. Okay, so now I look at that verse. Oh, there's something that it says there that you didn't see over here. So then now you start putting that on the side. So then when you have your original notation, your original thoughts, and then the Bible, you see the two come. Okay, now I have a better counsel understanding because I'm letting the Bible teach me concerning a topic. So the Bible is profitable. And I'll end with this last verse, I promise. I got a little excited, Sister Keen. I know I'm dehydrated, but man, I'm going off of something else. Amen. It could have been that coffee. I don't know. 2 Timothy 3. Okay, now I'm getting tired. 2 Timothy 3. The Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, reproof. And a lot of folks don't like this, but that's what happens. Correction for instruction in righteousness. So that's okay. We have a preconceived idea. Oh, well, here's what the Bible says about that. There we go. What do? I just correct my view. That's all. It's not that you had a unbiblical view about a thing. No, it was just an incorrect view. It was biblical. You just needed to place that truth right over here, remove that thing, and put it back over here, and there you go. Now it's corrected. That's all it is, amen? That's all it is. All right, any comments, questions for tonight's study before we come to a close? Comments, questions, anybody? Who's the head of the household? No, I'm just playing, Katie. I'm just playing, girl. You know, I'm just playing. But that was a good study too, huh, girl? You like that one, amen? Now, there are some other things we're reading today, guys, in our devotion. It was really good. That Bible's good. Amen. All right. Nobody else? Comments, questions? Comments, questions. Okay. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for tonight. It was a good Bible study, Lord. Thank you for giving me joy because that book is so good, Lord. Tomorrow, Lord, help us to have good sleep so we can soul win with a good spirit, good heart. Lord, for those of us that are going to be able to, God, we just want to continue to surrender our body. It belongs to you. Our spirit belongs to you. We want to tell this flesh, God, that it's going to serve you. And Lord, help us to have joy when we go out there serving you. Help us not to take offense, Lord, anything personal. And Lord, help us to just have a good smile when we do encounter people to share Jesus Christ with them, Father. We'll give you thanks ahead of time, Father, for any fruit that would come out of our ministry, Lord, from one-on-ones or open-air preaching, whatever it might be, Lord. And we look forward to coming back to church on Sunday. unless the rapture happens, God, anytime, take us home to glory. But if you want us to come back for a reason, I know, Lord, just like you told Paul, he is still in his flesh. He told us in Philippians because it was better. So, Lord, I know that if I see my brother Giovanni tomorrow, it's because he's still needed here. If I see Sister Kina, myself, Maribel, it's because we're still needed here to do something for you, Lord. So help us to wake up with that anticipation, God, that if I wake up, Lord, it's because you still want to accomplish something for you, for others around me, Lord. Help us to think like that. We thank you now. Help us to get back home safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church. Love you. God bless you. Thank you for coming.